from Board Developer, it's Business Ahas, a show about the eureka moment that launched you into the next level of success. I'm here with your host, Jim Hayden, and I'd like to welcome our fantastic guest this month, Benjamin Ide. Benjamin started his career working for the largest personal injury firm in Arizona. He transitioned into insurance defense, working in-house at large insurance companies. His experience defending insurance claims provides superior knowledge in pursuing your injury claim. Benjamin is dedicated to helping and representing injury victims and the families of those injured. Benjamin has been handling personal injury and wrongful death cases involving automobiles, slips and falls, and medical negligence. He has handled over 1,000 personal injury matters, many of which have concluded in arbitration and trial. He has a passion for helping those in need, the wrongfully injured. We cannot wait to hear his business. Aha. Take it away, Jim.
Oh my gosh, Danny. Thanks for a great intro of Ben. And I think as Carrie alluded in our conversation we had earlier, we presume that Ben is 50 years old. And actually he is 50 years old. He just looks like he's younger than 50. No, Ben, talk about a very impressive background, and my hat's off to you, not only as a leader, but also as a father and a great husband and your background. And you can really tell, and it resonates, that your family means everything to you. And I really appreciate that. And a fellow father of kids. We're also joined with both Danny and Carrie, our co-producers of Business Ahas, and excited, obviously, to have Ben today. And here is Business Aha. And just as a quick reminder, I have no idea what these ahas are. I have no idea what they, so I'm hearing them for the very first time, which makes it exciting for everybody that that participates. And it should be a fun conversation to have. And with that, Ben, the stage is yours.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate the wonderful introduction. Indeed, I am not 50 years old, although some days I might feel like I am. I have a few kids running around, and it both keeps me young and then not as young. So Jim, you were asking, like, what is that business aha moment? And really my big aha moment took place, I want to say back in 2019 is when I first realized that I was working at a large company, and eventually I got to a point where I've gone through school. So I'm an attorney. So I've gone through undergrad and I've gone through law school. And I've reached the top, or at least maybe the glass ceiling of where I was going to be working for an insurance company. And eventually with having children, I realized, is this something that I really want to do? And so in 2019, I decided at some point I'm going to make the leap. I'm going to go from having that safe, secure, stable job to doing something completely different. Well, still working in the law, but doing something completely different, completely myself. Put in my notice, and then it just so happens that the month I was going to do that, COVID hit. I think people can have as much preparation as they want, but when the rubber meets the road, it's pulling that ripcord, and it was probably one of the scariest things that I've ever done in my life, especially having a family, and having young children and having people that, need me, so to speak. And also the belief in myself and the ability to make a better life for myself and for my family. You make a jump and you're excited and you're ready to do it. And then what happens after that? So thankfully I'm a planner. I've thought about this, but I've also done it. I'll tell you, Jim, it's the best, or one of the very best decisions that I've ever made in my life. So that was, I guess, my delayed start with my business aha. And I don't think I could have it any other way.
It's fascinating. So when people have aha moments in business, sometimes they're predictable. And this was the most unpredictable aha moment that anybody would have imagined in a professional or personal life, was handling the unexpected and having that aha of now what to do with this unexpected and how to manage through this unexpected, but have it turn into the aha of now what do I do and what steps of making a difference for me professionally and quite frankly, personally with your family, right?
Right. And that was probably one of the biggest challenges that we had to navigate. And it was a challenge to navigate it, not because I didn't have full confidence in myself. It was a lot of the external factors, this once in a century pandemic that hits and affects everything from, in every industry. Places were being shut down. A lot of what I do, and I think my skill set is working with other people and working with them face to face and navigating, I think, more the interpersonal aspects of connecting with somebody that normally is done in person, but transitioning that to a virtual, doing that virtually. So it was an adjustment, at least on my side. Now, thankfully, I was able to also parlay that to continue to use my same track record of at least saving, preparing. So when things did start to normalize and things became a bit more open, then I have even more of a foundation to take those risks and to just see what does the future hold, and how is that success going to be measured, and how am I going to be able to provide for my family and also develop the business that would come along the way.
Would you say, Ben, that your aha moment has still not ended?
I think that's a very, very, I think it's a great way of putting it, Jim. Right. It's still going on. When's it going to end? I hope it never does. I mean, I hope this feeling continues for a while, but you know what? But I don't want to look back and think, what could I have done? What should I have done? And what life could have been? So I'd rather take that risk and see how it plays out, roll the dice and then not have those regrets.
So I envisioned your license plate on your car, if you had to have a personalized one, would say jump.
It would probably say jump, or it would probably be some snarky attorney phrase like, oh, I don't know. That's a that's kind of like an icebreaker that you'd ask. All right, what would your license plate say? Jump is quite apropos though.
Take the leap.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
So I know, or at least I believe in myself. I believe in my abilities, and I have unbridled optimism that I can do, things either different or in a better way that can make a more meaningful difference. And I think the way that I build myself is when I talk to clients, like I want to be able to have those close relationships with them, not only to garner the trust, but I'd be able to understand what issues that they have and understand the problems and how to solve them. And when things are reduced to simply statistics and all right, measured in 6-minute increments, it's harder to do that. So I like being able to have that control of my schedule and to be able to accept the right clients and then also provide them the service that I would want if I were in their shoes.
If you were going to give advice, and I would imagine that the listeners that are listening to this now that are saying, you know what, I really want to do what Ben did, what advice do you have for them?
Jim, great question. The advice that I'd have for them is you lay the foundation. At some point, you've got to step out and make the jump. You've got to take the risk. I think that attorneys, at least in my profession, we are risk averse by nature. We look at what is the best case scenario, but also what is the worst case scenario. And even if that worst case scenario is a 1% chance of something happening, sometimes that can be very fearful. So I am a planner, right? At some point, and thankfully with the support of my family, it was to step out because what I ask myself and I would ask others, what's your worst case scenario? And I think if we can define what the worst case scenario is or what the greatest fear is and the likelihood of that happening and how to account for that, everything else, it makes that decision to do that much easier.
Well, that's a great answer.
It's at least it's the answer that has worked for me. I don't think there's a certain path that, you know, you take steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and you get from point A to point B. I think there's multiple ways of getting there. It was, at least in my situation, I laid the biggest foundation that I could. And then it's, you know, when I had to submit that last letter of, here you go, I'm officially out. And that resignation was accepted. And once that happens, it's okay. Now it's figuring out what the next step is. And like my cup says, you know, do what you like. And there's another one that says, the cup is half full. And my cup's half full. Even if it's empty, it'll be filled up. It'll be filled.
You know, the journey from an employee to entrepreneur in the middle of a pandemic is really bold. I mean, I think that's something that's very unique about you. Can you tell me a little more about how has this experience changed you? You know, what is that, those changes that you've noticed in yourself? Like, how have you grown from being an employee to being an entrepreneur in the middle of a pandemic? Like, that's a big deal.
That is that's a great question. It's challenging insofar as, you know, there's always the custom of being an employee of, you have somebody else tell you what to do, someone else to dictate and to really hold you accountable for what you do. The layers of fear that I've had going from an employee to now the business owner have been slowly melting away because my worst case scenario isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. The challenges that I thought I don't know how to do something is melting away, not because I know how to do it, but because I can hire the right people or outsource the right work to be able to allow me to do my best, to do my best work.
So your highest and best use you get to continue to do. And when you say hire or rent other services to help you be the best that you can be, and through the magic is, I guess, knowing that where to draw that line. You know, hey, I'm really good at X, I'm really good at Y, but I'm probably not the best person to be designing a web page or the first person that's going to design my, you know, what my logo is going to look like, or if I'm going to have a, you know, my presence, you know, from how I'm going to network myself now as an entrepreneur. That's really fascinating. And I think, Carrie, your question resonated with me is the amount of people, you know, the thousands, if not millions of people that are so unsure of themselves and that are so unsure of what would it look like for me to be on my own and hang my own shingle, whatever that shingle may be. You know, if it being a barista and owning a coffee shop, if it's being an individual that wants to get involved in real estate. In your case, obviously, you in your legal background to be able to represent your clients and assume the responsibility of the liability as an attorney, that's a big deal. And for you to take the perspective of what is the worst case scenario, and if that were to happen, what would I then do? And what you said was, I would go out and get a job. I will fall back and get a job. But I know that if I plan for the worst case scenario, and now you just said my wildest dreams, I would not have had the success that I've had thus far. And then you also said the term 80%. And I think it's actually okay for people to understand it's okay to be 80% right.
Mm-hmm. Great.
If you graduate from law school with 80%, what do they call you?
Right, that you still get that title.
Yeah. But if I'm jumping out of an airplane and someone tells me there's an 80% chance the parachute's going to open, I'm not jumping.
Okay, right. So there's an 8. You may not jump, but the other part is there's no guarantee that the airplane that you're on, there's not 100% guarantee in anything.
Yeah. So maybe it's just a metaphor of the airplane and jumping and, you know, and taking the leap, but understanding what you're in, think the magic word very well may be calculated, Ben. I mean, making sure that it's everything that I'm going to do, it is appropriately calculated. If I'm going to take this next step and open up this new location, you know, did I do it by making necessary calculated risks as opposed to being risk averse?
What I've said when I'm in trial, it's trying to control a hurricane. There's only so many variables that one can account for. And you account for as much as you can. There's always going to be something that is, you know, comes out of left field. And whether that's in law or, like you said, Jim, a coffee shop or real estate, just making the decision and then taking action on that. I mean, that's, I can calculate to the nth degree. At the end of the day, if everything is lining up, are you ready to take action?
What is, maybe there's not one thing, but what is that actual nudge? And what is the actual nudge that says, okay, I'm going to do it?
Right, that's it. So that, I think you're getting to the crux of, you know, what is it that pushes someone from being that employee to being that business owner? For me, that was my family and being able to provide for my family. As we grew our family, there's also being able to, I think, take care of them and plan for their futures that at some point I wasn't able to do as an employee. So it's one of these, you know, constantly coming up against that glass ceiling and to say, okay, if you want to get past that, you know, what do you do?
So I think the what boils down to is, I'm going to call the, use the term, the evolving aha. If anybody that's had to have gone through what you went through during the pandemic and making the decisions that you made and having them continue to evolve and continue to learn and what that the new day is like and adjusting appropriately and however things are being thrown at you to be able to handle them very systematically, my hat's off to you. I mean, as a young man, to make this decision with your young family is a decision that most people never make in their careers.
And you're right, it is. I mean, there's more pressure in having a young family. But at the same time, I also have a lot of energy. And if not now, then when? Well,
Ben, you know, we've talked a lot about how you're a very calculated risk taker, which I love. That's such an interesting combination, if you will. So, you know, you talked about you had this plan and you're working the plan to go out on your own in 2020. And right before you go to do that, the pandemic hits. And also you had another kid. So tell me a little bit about that experience when you thought you were at the finish line, but the goalpost got moved. How did you keep your momentum, your energy, your vision?
For me, what kept me grounded was thinking about the goalposts have moved. Where are the goalposts? And then let's run like crazy and get to those goalposts, going and having that extra year to really think about and make sure that, kind of like taking that calculated risk, this is really what you want to do. Are you sure? Are you very sure? Are you ready to bet the farm on this? And having that extra year to think about it and make that decision? Yes, that's kind of how I had to get through it.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, you know, would you say that these goalposts being moved, the world moving them, you having no control made you want to take that leap even more?
For me, yes. The answer is a resounding yes, because I saw what it was like not taking that step. I could project I could see myself 20 years down the road thinking, hey, why didn't I take that step?
I can't tell you how much we appreciate you you sharing your story. It's interesting, every time we hear a new aha for the very first time, I want to call it the evolving aha, and how much you your story is going to resonate, I think, right to the core of so many people that are living where you lived. And yeah, I have so many people that have now listening to you can put a plan together and potentially then make the change that you made. And because you're living proof that it worked, and it would have been okay if it didn't work. And I think for people to understand, it's okay if it doesn't work. It's okay if for you to fall back on something that that you is your go-to. And it's the understanding that if you do design, you know, what does success not look like, what the fallback plan then becomes, that's okay. And I think that the message that I'm hearing is that it's okay, and it's okay to be 80% right, and it's okay to design things as you're doing them. And I love the idea of moving the goalposts, and in your situation, you get to move them now. And before, when the pandemic happened, they got moved on you. You just had to find them. And then when you found them, then you had the opportunity then to go run toward the goalpost at that point. So gosh, on behalf of our entire team, Ben, I cannot thank you enough for sharing the story. And I think that as it resonates with so many people on how impactful it will be. So we really appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much, Jim. And thank you, Danny and Carrie, too.
Thank you for tuning in to Business Ahas, brought to you by Board Developer. If you liked Ben's business aha moment and can relate to his story, please share this podcast with your friends. We'd really appreciate it.